The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
October the 7th. When the 15th, this month is going on by. All right, so it is our Wednesday night, and normally we talk about women's issues. Tonight we're just going to open up the lines for what's on your mind, so you can speak about whatever is on your mind. Aja, I'll open up your mic. Welcome in. How are you?
Namaste. I'm splendid. How are you, Black Rose?
I am very well. Namaste. Namaste to you. I have to say namaste to Aja. Namaste. Namaste. Oh, you know what? I have,
do you know what namaste means?
Yes, I know.
Well, I want everybody else to know.
Oh, okay. Do you want to read?
Oh, no. I want you to share. I want you to share with everybody.
Okay. Well, namaste has a primary meaning of my understanding, saluting the spirit or the God in you, my spirit, my God self, saluting the God and the spiritual energy in you. So it's acknowledgement of you and your essence, your wonderful, glorious essence. And, you know, I always say to people, like someone says, oh, you're so wonderful or whatever. And I say, oh, I'm just a reflection of you. And so now like, you know, I'm a reflection of you.
Right.
Or I honor your being and your essence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Read the God in me, honors the God in you.
Yes. And a lot of people, I think that namaste is Sanskrit. I'm not sure if it's Sanskrit or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, Sanskrit. And I know that a lot of people, especially Black people, have yet to make the connection to, like, Indian culture. And when I say Indian, not indigenous or, like, Native American, I'm talking about the Indians living in the land called India. That culture, a lot of ancient Indians, like the Buddhas, they were Black. They were dark-skinned people. The little coils or beads that you see on their hair were like the little twisties that we start our locks off with.
Right.
Yeah, and quite often they'll just show the Buddha with shaved hair. Mm-hmm. And I've heard different stories about, you know, the shaved hair. It could represent different meanings, too, a shaved head. It could represent cleansing, going through a spiritual cleansing, or different things. But sometimes I've heard some people say that you see the shaved Buddha head so that they wouldn't show the afro that some of the Buddhas had.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yes, I've seen some Buddhas with that afro texture. Hair. I've seen them. Yeah.
Well, they had that kind of textured hair before the British came in and beat and raped everybody. So
right.
You know, those people were Black. They were black. And they were called untouchables. Well, they began to be called untouchables. But I mean, like in ancient times, those were just African people that migrated over to that part of the world as we
migrated
to various parts. Italy, well, the Silk Road, I think it was called Silk Road Trade. And just like Queen of Sheba, when she was traveling with her entourage, large entourage, had her shea butters and all her jewels and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Being carried on chariots.
Oils.
Chariots. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we've always been a traveling people. I read this article about providing, like, travel education for your children, how it can enhance the learning experience. And, you know, I always talk about that. That's something that a lot of affluent parents can do for their children. And it's designed that way. Poor children don't spend their summers at Martha's Vineyard or over in Italy backpacking and things like that. You know, we spend our summers, poor children spend their summers probably trying to work.
Running from the police.
Or something like that. Say what?
I'm sorry, I said trying to dodge them police bullets.
I'm telling you. Parents trying to, especially if you're somewhere like in Chicago, parents trying to keep you in the house or something like that.
Or they're trying to send you out to the country for your safety to stay with your grandparents or your uncles or somebody. They get you heck out of there.
That's what they used to do for your generation when you were coming up.
When I was coming up, it wasn't bad like this. No, I'm just saying that when poor black children for the summer, they go. Well, we went to the country, and we would have to work and pick cotton. You know, that was our vacation. You know, and you don't, they don't take like trips and stuff like that. You pile up on the truck, and they take you out there, and you're out there for the summer. You know, that's it, and it's every summer the same place. Whereas, you know, more affluent people, like you say, they go here, they go there, you know, they get the experience of other cultures, you know, it's just so much, it adds so much more to your life when you're exposed. You know, I'm just so glad that when I reached 19, I'd already, you know, had a little college and I'd already started working, but I just had the opportunity to leave town and live somewhere else with my sister and grandmother in New York. And I'm just so glad that I took that opportunity. It just made a world of difference, a world of difference. I mean, I came back expecting more, you know?
That
when you expect more, you get more.
When you expect more, you get more.
Yeah,
kind of like the law of attraction.
Exactly.
You feel that you deserve it. You begin to feel that it's yours.
Yeah, you're entitled. You're entitled.
You have it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
You feel like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do to get it. I deserve it.
And I deserve it.
Yeah, and now I have it. It's mine. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, and all.
Yes, thank you.
And then it's there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were about to share something else?
Something as small as standing in the line at the store. Okay? There's this long line at the store. You don't want to wait. You wonder why there's only one cashier taking care of all these people. You feel like you should be given proper service. So you make a fuss and boom, there's somebody there to take half of that line. That's entitlement. You feel that you deserve that, and you got it. And that's what happened to you one day because I witnessed it. I witnessed it. But if you don't feel like you deserve better, you're just going to stand in that long line and just grumble, mumble, mumble, and just take it. And that's what you will get each and every time.
Yes. Yeah. You got the feel that you deserve it. So, let me see. I'm trying to pull something up here. I want to, while I'm looking for this story, I want to send out my condolences to the people in Guatemala. They had this really, really bad mudslide.
Yeah.
I heard it was like over 100-something people. Like 130-something people. Died and another 300 or so missing. So, Send my condolences out to them. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing about Memphis, living and growing up in Memphis, the weather wasn't bad. We didn't have any of this global warming and all of this stuff. Oh, and also, let me send out my condolences to the people in South Carolina. I had to email Scotty today because I know Scotty's kind of up that way in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I'd heard on the news that parts of North Carolina have been affected.
Yeah, also, certain, like towards the, I guess you would call it the South East Coast. Down there closer to Columbia and Charleston and places like that, along that area. But my area was not affected. I'm in western North Carolina. We got some little rain and nothing to complain about. It didn't even rain that hard, and I'm thankful for that because a lot of people like our brother Max Parthis, who was just on air with New Abolitionist Radio, the water came up to their doorsteps. So. But it didn't go in the house. It didn't go in the house. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But thankfully, we were spared. We were spared.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, I'm glad of that because Canty's on the line, and I think Canty was experiencing some bad weather there in New York City. New York City is, like they said on Life.
Yeah.
New York City, King B. King B. Hey. What's going on there? How's the weather there?
It was spared the onslaught of Joaquin, just a matter of it wasn't a one-two punch. It's just that compared to what Columbia, South Carolina got.
Hey,
how's everybody doing?
Great. Namaste, King B. How are you?
Yes, I'm dealing with preparation for a medical situation tomorrow, so I have to nothing solid. So, you know, I have enough energy to talk and stuff. It's something that every 5 years, people get my age, if you're going to stay healthy, you got to do this. But I wanted to encourage you all, if you haven't called my publishing firm called what's next? I'm so out of the job. I'm trying to get this publishing firm that had this textbook rewritten history.
Oh, McGraw-Hill.
Did you all call them today?
No, I did not.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. I will write that down and put that on my list of things to do.
Put
our pen to paper, rather.
Yeah, it's a punch in the miseducation department, because what this mother, very brave mother and very alert mother, she was a former educator in the Atlanta area, and her child showed her his history textbook how they want to call slaves workers.
Workers!
Yeah, but they actually did,
serious?
Brother Canty. I did a program on that on Black Talk Radio News just this week, and actually, that's incorrect. It's a matter of semantics, because they, in that same sentence, they say that people from the transatlantic slave trade brought workers from Africa to the South in the continental United States to work on agriculture plantations. That's what it says. So when you say these transatlantic slave trade, you are in fact acknowledging that they are slaves, you know, just to be accurate.
But to say it's a contradiction.
Wow.
They're playing the word game, and it's a contradiction, because you can't say, well, slaves, and then you workers. You're not a worker if you're kidnapped and brought to another country.
But you are put to work. I mean, you put to work. Again, that's why I'm saying it's semantics. Okay, because in the first you open up saying that these are, you know, people were brought here through the transatlantic slave. So they're telling you that they're slaves. Now, you know, you could change the language around and say these were victims of the transatlantic slave trade, and they were put to work in terms of calling them workers. But in fact, I mean, they could be called workers because they were working, but they weren't getting paid for it. Well, some of them did, but the other thing that I took issue with was that, I mean, first of all, they were lying when they said that these victims were just put in the South and Southern states. They were all over over the colony. So you lying there, and nobody picked up on that. And then they said that most white people that came here as indentured servants. And that's a lie. They came over prior to 1500. They were slaves. They were chained right alongside African descended slaves or other non-white slaves. And so they try to, brainwash the most white people to think that they weren't victims too. You know, but then we get into the great betrayal of the Bacon's Rebellion when the white race was invented. And the Anglo-Saxon rich Englishmen were saying, you know, the ones that owned the plantation said to the Irish that they had victimized the poor people that was begging in the streets and prostituting in the streets of London. They didn't put them in jail. And so they sentenced these people to prison. And then, you know, that's prison slavery. Sent them over here. They were slaves, man. They indentured servitude. That's just a word usage again. That still means involuntary. They were slaves too.
And you
but,
see,
yeah.
My brother, when you get down to the nitty gritty of Jews, do not tolerate anyone altering what they claim happened to them.
So what I'm saying is more than what's wrong with them saying these were workers. I mean, basically every history book I have come across, whether it was when I was in school or my daughters were in school, in terms of history, it's all white lies. So I'll leave it at that.
Yes. I know that's right. All white lies. Yep, all white lies.
When you say that word, history, slowly, his story, we have yet to tell our story. And they have the desire, white supremacy has the characteristic where they have the privilege to alter history if it seems to be too embarrassing for their ancestors to deal with what the ancestors did to people who came over here against their will. Blacks suffered not only physical slavery, but they whipped on us psychological slavery. And we're still suffering from it today. And until we can deal with the psychological damage done to our brains, they released the, took the chains off our bodies and put it on our brains, where you have these so-called charter schools that are now destroying what's left of our children's mind to think for themselves. They're increasing, becoming more and more like zombies with these charter schools, because there is no concern about black children understanding what it is to be proud of their African culture.
Not at all.
No,
they're trying to devise a worker segment of people, service worker segment of people. There was a sister, and I've got to get her name. I think I mentioned her to you, or Mother Dunnan, earlier. She's I think she's like an education advocate. And she spoke about how the plan now is to have these children graduating with only a third grade education. Be on the third grade. I think it's third grade. Third or sixth, something like that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to her statements on that. But yeah, it's like they're not looking for people to come out of school. What the plan is, to not have these children graduating, being CEOs, producers. They want us to be service people, consumers, just unaware, just walking zombies, working for master, don't have no gumption or whatsoever about anything.
No ambition, entrepreneurship.
And that's why I love the little college students that come on here, because I tell you, they give me a sense of hope, because outside of them, a lot of these children that I see, so many of them, they are so special. And I do mean special in the sense of special ed. And it is really, really sad. These children, they're not teaching them critical thinking, because all they're doing is teaching them to the test in these schools. Delta's on the line now. Delta had an issue. You want to bring this up, Delta, along with your hot topics, an issue with your, I think one of your baby's children, your grandchildren or something. You want to hit your hot topics first and then tell us about that or what?
May I say this quote in relation to what we were talking about, the teachings of our children? There's this African quote, and I'm sure we all remember, but I just want to say it. And it goes like this: until the lion tells his side of the story, the tale of the hunt will always glorify the hunter.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So until we tell our side, they're going to always glorify themselves. Always. So what else can we expect? We can't expect for them to say, well, we went over there and killed all these people, and we brought them over here and made them our slaves for hundreds of years, and yeah, we were cruel and mean to them. No. That's their story.
We understand the psychology of white supremacy, we will always be caught in this situation where we are always reacting, not proacting. We have to always remain vigilant, because these white supremacists know full well they see us as their number one arch nemesis. They fear our rise. They fear the possibility that we will be very much aware of their game plan to destroy a people that they have always...
The conference has been locked.
The real reason why they hate us so, and they never will tell us, but I suspect when slavery was abolished, Wall Street crashed.
The conference has been unlocked.
Their biggest commodity on Wall Street. So you imagine now people making this big money off of slavery, and now that those days of making money off of slavery is over, they really hated our guts to the point where when we began climbing so fast after the Civil War and during Reconstruction, we were climbing so fast with this economic ladder of success. The North ran by the Republicans fearing a second Civil War because blacks were making it so fast. They told the South a proviso: if you never ever talk about ever seceding from the Union, the Republicans running the North would pull the Union troops out. They're guaranteeing our Reconstruction, right? Then they told the Democrats running the South, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted to. And so the Klan was born and the lynchings began. And there's a chapter in the latter part of the book called Black Reconstruction America. The chapter reads, back to slavery. And black folks not knowing their history, got to understand, if this government turns on us for a meaningful program called Reconstruction, what makes you think this government will turn on us again if it means that blacks are about to be in control of their destiny, or the idea that we're rising up because we're not going to take it because Obama's out in the White House? There is this desire now to get revenge because the enemy was in the White House and he wasn't the butler, the chauffeur, or the chef.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy, King B. I tell you, well, soon we won't have that black president in office. He'll be out.
That's it.
He'll be out of public housing, so.
Yeah.
Going on about his business, him and Michelle, back to Chicago. Let's see if they'll clean up the shootings around it.
I heard it's coming to New York.
Oh, they're not going back to Chicago.
No, they're not going back to Chicago. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Not after all that message that they've been allowing to go on.
He's coming to New York and will be a professor at Columbia University.
Oh, yes. That is correct. You is absolutely correct, Canty. That's exactly where he's going.
Yeah. I hadn't even heard it. And I just knew he wasn't going back.
Well, it would make him say, well, he'll give $500,000 speeches.
Oh, yeah.
And whatnot. Delta has some hot topics you want to share with us, guys.
Yes, let me talk about a couple of hot topics. Let me get three out tonight, if you don't mind. Okay, our first one, and I know we all kind of talked about it the other day, about the little black boy that was 12 years old. And he was playing Dare, like Dare. and it's like a stare game, and you stare into each other's eyes, and who blinked first, you lose. When this little boy was playing at this school, I can't remember if you can pull it up, Black Rose. I can't remember what town it was in, but it was at a prestigious, one of these real nice Catholic schools.
Uh-huh.
And the little white girl said that she was laughing, and they said she was laughing and playing with the boy. But I guess, this is my theory, is the white people must have got mad and told her, don't you be staring in that nigga's face. That's my take on it. And what happened is, the little girl said that she was in fear of the little boy. Next thing you know, they put the little boy out of school because the little white girl said she was terrified of him. And that's why she told on him. But that same little white girl had been in three major incidents.
Sound like she needs psychological help. Yeah, he shouldn't have been sent nowhere.
Okay.
She should have been sent somewhere to get deprogrammed to that white supremacy chip in her mind. That got, you know, that Afrophobia, as I've heard it called.
You mean that white privilege credit card. It's a white card they got. They can flash that white card, and it means go. But anyway, let me get to the next one, and then we'll talk about all of them. I just want to get them out real fast. Then the next one is the little boy that they put on Facebook. Now, that was on the news this morning about the little boy that was on Facebook.
Yeah, it was on the news about, in Houston last night.
Well, it was on Good Morning America this morning. Not Good Morning America, the one that CBS, where they was talking about how the little comments was made, and a lot of people said they are outraged that this is happening. No, you shouldn't be outraged. That just lets you know races go on. But this is my take is, this mother is so, they be think these white folks love them so on their job. But really, they can't stand your guts. They can't stand your black guts. Your back turned just for a second. And this white cracker gonna take a picture of your little boy and put it on Facebook and gonna call your baby Sambo and gonna say them niggas always want stuff free. And just made all type of horrible comments about the little black boy. And black folks, we better wake up. Something is new. The white folks is showing you Negroes, I'm gonna put you in your place. But they got to realize the young folks today, it's not going to take what we take. What we taken back in those days, where we used to say, oh, hurts, don't worry about it.
Uh-huh,
the young folks
uh-huh.
say, bring it on. I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to die fighting for something. Okay? Can I do two more, please? Let me do two more,
of
y'all.
Of course.
I just thought
you don't have to ask, Delta. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know.
Can you hold them to the other side of the break?
That's right. We're at a break. That's right. Thank you, Scotty. We're at a break. Delta, just hold them over to after the break, and then we'll come right back with your hot topic, Delta Delivering.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Uh-oh, did we lose our host?
Oh, yeah. Hello? The host was reading and talking on mute. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you so much. I was just saying, Delta, the staring game where the little boy was suspended, that happened at a school in Ohio, and actually it happened last year, 2014, but all of it just like went to court recently.
Yeah, they just went to court. That is correct. Because the mother and them tried to pull this off of his record, because they saying this is going to affect him if he tried to go get another job. This is on his record. And the white slave master refused to take it off of his record.
Of course. Why wasn't doing anything good for that boy? Why don't the white judge want to do anything good for the black boy?
That's why I call him the white slave master.
Uh-huh.
Your master don't want to do nothing but beat the hell out of you and beat you down. Oh, Lord, forgive me for talking ugly, Jesus. But
you need to go to church.
God, forgive me. But anyway, that's what they want to do. Then also, I saw on the news today the ladies that they threw off the train.
Yes.
All the ladies from the winery, our lawyer, have stepping up and took on their case and filed a lawsuit for $11 million on their behalf.
I saw that. Yes.
And said their civil rights was violated.
Yes.
And also, ladies, and I'm guilty at this one too. And you know what? We need to go natural, and we need to quit. But now I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a little hard for me to go natural, but I have to get me some wigs. But let me tell you what happened. There is a little black girl, and I sent you the thing of she, and I think she was in Georgia. And she's 16 years old, and she's a virgin. And the young lady came down with a bad cold. The mother took her to the hospital, and they ran all type of tests. Then the doctor called a week later, told the mother it was urgent to get the young lady back to the hospital right away. The young lady had a HIV virus. The young girl have never been sexually active at all. Never did no type of drugs or anything. So the doctor and them told her to think hard. Where have you been? Have you been stuck by anything? What have happened? The young lady says, I went and got my hair weaved. And you know, Ashir, y'all, we all are guilty of this. We go to the weave shop and get our hair done. And they use the same needles they use on other people's heads. This young girl said that she was stuck 2 or 3 times in her head. And she said her head bled those 2 or 3 times. This is how this child attracted HIV. And they said this same hair salon have been cited before. Now, this child's life is ruined. And we do know, because I know, I have had my hair weaved for years and years. They use the same needles. They do not clean those needles. They use the same thing over and over and over again. Now, something has got to be done. So
people need to just start bringing their own needle to the salon. Like, I know at one time before the Asian nail salons, before they started having, you know, like a new pack of nippers and file and all of that stuff before they do your pedicure and manicure, people started bringing their own, because I was a nail tech for a little while. So people would bring their own. I would encourage people to bring their own, purchase your own nippers. And that way, you don't even have to worry about all that. I mean, because if you want to wear your weave, wear your weave, just take precautions. It's just like sex. Somebody's making a whole lot of noise, like some ice cups or something.
In the year of our Lord, 2015, black women still want to look like white women? You don't see white women with their hair in the African styles, twists and all this kind of other kind of braids and what have you. Black women still do not believe that they are beautiful unless they wear wigs and weave jobs.
And it's just so sad that billions of dollars black women are spending nationwide. Money could be gone for paying their rent, dealing with their tuition, you know, college tuition. You know, things are not going to get cheaper in this country. It's going to get increasingly worse because the economy, capitalism, is on its dying bed, and blacks will be the last to be told that we are going to be victimized by this dying capitalist system.
King B, I want to say something about the weave. Now, what I'm noticing also is, now, I used to wear my weaves. Yes, indeed, I used to rock my weaves, spend $300 or more. Now, what I'm noticing, Candy, yeah, that's what I said when I started adding that up.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my hair was natural forever, I would still wear weaves because I like the versatility. I'm a cosmetologist by trade. Been doing my hair in the bathroom since I was like 13, 14 years old. My mom can tell you that. But anyway, so what I'm noticing, King B, is that a lot of these young girls are stressing their parents, because I have friends that are parents, and these young girls are stressing their parents about this expensive weave, and they have it all the way down their back. There's some little girls near where I stay, that long, long little wavy hair hanging down their back. Now, I remember one time, and I was grown. I mean, I was an adult, like in my, late 20s or 30s. And I had this long wig on, Icy Hot. Icy Hot is on the line with us. Oh, wait a minute, Icy Hot, I thought I muted you. You must have hung up and called back in. But Icy Hot, I had that long, long, curly wig in my head, honey. And my daddy, I saw him, and he said, you need to take that shit out your head. You look like a hoe.
Mm.
He did. He told me. He was like, you know, that don't look right. You know, don't do that. You know, no. So... But he didn't say I look like a hoe. He said something else. But anyway, these girls, they're wearing this long hair. And I feel sorry for a lot of their mothers, because they're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this hair for these girls. I'm like, you need to be buying them a Rosetta Stone. That's what you need to be buying them, so that they can learn how to speak some El Español and some Arabic and some Mandarin. And all of that, so that they can compete. And some Sanskrit and anything else, some Japanese, so they can compete with all of these other students. That's what you need to be doing every 3 months. Just think, every 3 months you're spending $200 to $300 on hair. Hell, that's a Rosetta Stone. $500 for Rosetta
and
Stone.
And might be if the rent goes up more than what it is now, they might be facing eviction because the mother cannot pay the rent, or the father has abandoned the household, so now there's only one serious income coming in, and that child is depending on the mother for her food, her lodging, and the idea that this hardship in these major cities is going to get worse because black people never listened to the great Marcus Mosiah Garvey when he said, a race of people that have to depend on another ethnic group for their own economical survival shall soon perish. And we didn't listen to Garvey. And we're going to pay for it because we are dependent on this white man for our survival, economic survival, to this day. And our young people, all they know is materialistic. They're very extremely materialistic.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, sneakers made in China, it's charging you $300, $400 for a pair of sneakers. And these other designer clothing, many of them are made in China, but they are charging you for the name, and our people are so gullible. We don't understand why are we so eager to be sucked in by these high-profile designer clothing when it's not even made properly to as far as the quality of it, the material, or the way it's designed. And then again, for you know, you're paying for the name, but the clothing is a fake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you really don't know. All you're doing is just seeing because it's presented to you to say, if you're going to be hip, this is what you got to wear. And, you know, like, I never thought I'd see the day where women will walk around with jeans deliberately torn up.
Well, that's a fashion. That's a fashion, I think. You know.
Yeah, but whatever they wear now, whatever they design for women to wear, we don't have our own mind to know that there are sometimes you got to draw the line and say, look how long it took for black men to stop wearing those high heel, thick sole shoes with the thick sole and the high heel. Back in the days of the look like the Mac.
You mean like the Stacks? They call them the Stacks shoes, I think.
Yeah.
You didn't wear your bell bottoms and stacks, though, Ken? You didn't do that? I saw it being very uncomfortable
walking in those kind of shoes and the very style. And then I was very politically aware that the enemy want us to look like clowns. And until we, I realized that everything that was coming on the market didn't accommodate our beauty and our sophistication that we were supposed to always realize, never let our guard down, that we are a sophisticated people that have been psychologically damaged. So whatever they put out there for us to wear, we're going to buy it because that's what the white man said. This is what you wear if you want to be looking presentable. So what if they tell us we're supposed to be wearing banana peels, sewn to banana peels. Are we going to buy that too? I mean, like, when do we draw the line about going from the sublime to the ridiculous? I really was sorry to see the summer season end, but the way some of our sisters was looking in the street, I said, come on, Winter, please, come on, Winter.
Let's talk about the boys and men who wear their pants down practically to their knees. Let's get off the ladies a minute. I'd like to see why isn't there more about that? Why is it that's so accepted? And that's not
because
something that I don't think that the white men put up on us.
No,
I think
our young men pick up the culture from the prison and comes out into the street. So you know, people want, young men want to look hip. So this is what they saying as far as you wear. Years ago, it was a thing where you wear sneakers completely unlaced.
But this is a different thing to me because it's more vulgar. I mean, you're showing your ass. I mean, I see that crack. You know, it's so much different than shoes being unlaced. It's even more different than wearing your clothes backwards. This goes into another area. And I don't know why people, even women, they don't see it. I mean,
because people don't know.
Another thing that this has attacked is what happened to our black men with the swag. You cannot swag if you. What, it's not swag. What is it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, the men. They used to walk with that, you know, the strut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now they can't because they're walking with their legs about 2 feet apart.
Yeah.
And then they got the phone in one hand. And then they're holding up the pants in the other hand.
Yes.
And then when they have to run, they look like a duck or a penguin.
Thank you. When I was driving for Transit City, New York City, I told a regular young man who was a nice fellow, but he didn't know until I told him because he was wearing his pants hanging down. And I told him, young man, come here. You know the origin of sagging pants? He said, no. I said, in the prison system, you would give the signal to your fellow inmate that you will offer up any resistance if he wants to get next to you. He said, really? I said, that's what it was, the signal. So a lot of these young men don't even know that it's a sign where you're telling from prison. Come from prison. So like, if you are, our young men, they don't realize that they are adopting the ways of losers for many of the inmates. Some of them see themselves as being runners, and they come out and straighten up the act. But a lot of them can't because they're so psychologically beaten down, they don't understand that this was a trick to keep them in mental slavery. Ever since slavery was abolished, it was only abolished for indentured servants, not for people, not for people in jail, black men in particular. So the idea that young men adopted the ways, the style of being in jail, because they don't see themselves as being a winner. They have no knowledge of their history, basic knowledge of their history. They have, they are divorced of that.
But who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach them?
It's up to the home, starts in the home, then the churches, and then the school system. Well, you know, and listen, when I was growing up, there was a time where the black churches were more conscious about telling our young people who they are and whose they are.
Didn't get that in church.
There were those pastors, because I grew up in an era, there was activist pastors that was focused on black consciousness levels, raising the issue of our contribution.
And see, Candy, you were up there, you were up north. We're down here in the south, and so you know these pastors were all about collecting tithes, and he died on Calvary. Here in the south, he died on Calvary on the third day. He rose and he died for our sins, and the blood of Jesus saved you. And I mean
get baptized and that's it.
Wash your sins away.
Play around about five times. Now Mother Donnie can sit here and try to say something else because she's down here in the south too. But Mother Donnie noticed that is what is preached. Oh my God. He died on
Calvary.
I can get up there and preach that. I really can't.
There was this low budget film, but it was a big hit starring Ivan Dixon and late Abby Lincoln. It was called Nothing But a Man. If you can ever find this magnificent film, it's in black and white, but it was about a story about a black man in the Deep South trying to hold it together, working in the sawmill, and blacks were common because they didn't want to lose their job in this sawmill. So the white man would talk to the brother who realized he was not one of those good negroes. So he sacked this white man, and he was fired. So it was clear that the blacks were angry with the black man because he said, boy, you're going to get some trouble. You know, he's talking that, looking all angry and smiling when nothing's funny. This is how this film showed our people that when you try to be a man in a racist, decadent society, they will come after you. They used to say in the Deep South, boy, you don't know your place.
We don't
tolerate uppity niggas. And we're going to have to teach you a lesson. I mean, Emmett Till wasn't even given a second chance. Emmett Till was brutally slain because he supposed to have disgraced a white woman. He wasn't even given a second chance.
King B, let's welcome in Icy Hot. She's online with us. Icy Hot, you still there?
Yes.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Bring her into the conversation. You know she always does. Wisdom to add and share. You had a great show on Tuesday.
Yes, we did.
We came out with some work though in that show, and I was driving at the time, so I didn't take notes. But is there anything that you could share with us just to review?
We were going to be doing a couple of things for our next few rounds on reparations.
Yes.
And the work that we're going to be doing, and Mother Dunn is going to, I'm going to text it to her and she's going to send it out. But that show, Reparations, the originator himself, and many people probably don't know this, but Dr. Robert Block, have you had the privilege of finding out about Dr. Robert Block? We're going to find out next Tuesday, if you don't know.
The Robert Block.
Yes. And And we're going to, in 3 weeks, Marcus Garvey, and the other two were, Ashira, help me out with the name.
So Marcus Garvey, I think
the other reparations. Yeah, that's
and
it.
Was it someone else?
It was one other one, but we'll get the names and text them out to people. So we're going to do a little history about reparations and the origins of it. So that's what we came out with that. But I did want to talk about the children, as you all were talking about, with the hair deal.
Okay.
Which is so very sad. Of how our children's low self-esteem and our mother's lack of wisdom will cause us to continue to die out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's absolutely no way a child really should be doing all the things that I see some of the children and the parents do to their hair.
Thank you.
It's just, I look at them sometimes and I say, my goodness, why would a child have to have hair that long? You're putting hair into your children's, you know, head because they have low self-esteem or they're trying to be something else and don't love themselves.
Ingrown self-hatred. Yeah, that's right.
Self-hatred. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's just transferred generational self-hate because
it is.
We have parents that now relax and perm the children's hair. So then they grow up like that because, you know, we went through a couple of generations of that was just the norm to perm your hair. Most black women had permed, relaxed hair. And so we're just now, over the past, I'd say 20 years or so, seeing now more women adopt natural hair. And I tell you guys, I'm seeing more and more people getting into this blackness. It's just beautiful.
It is.
I was looking through my Instagram page, and I was trying to find Imani Dawson's Instagram page, Odara Designs, the lady that makes my beautiful earrings. I always get compliments. So let me send a shout out to her. She's in Oakland, California. And so the lady in the beauty supply store asked me about the earrings. So I'm trying to find her page. And so she's looking through my Instagram page, and she said, yeah, I knew you were like that. I like your style. I knew you were like that. You kind of into your black people and things. She said, I want some earrings like that, you know, like the original cross. What you call it, like a, she was trying to say an onk. And so I said, yeah, I'm not, the lady that makes my earrings, she probably can make you something like that. So more and more black people are truly, truly, truly waking up, and they're starting to realize, it's the awakening, though. We're going into
it really
the
is. It
this
really
is.
It's
the age of the awakening. I mean, people are starting to become more aware, and the awakening doesn't mean that you have to abandon Christianity or abandon being a Muslim or abandon being a Buddhist. It's just awakening to that we are human beings and we need to get along. We are here to, we have a purpose here. And that's what you should focus on, your purpose. And you have these evil people that are here. They're like placed in your whole little play or placed in the matrix to distract you and discombobulate you and all of that.
Get you off your game.
Get you off your game, have you depressed and stressed and all of that. But we when we learn that we create our lives, we create our reality. This is our play, and everybody else is an extra.
Right.
And so when they're not acting right, then guess what? We're putting you out of the play. Seriously,
your
scene is over.
We gotta start being more ethical. And understand that ethics is the problem, that our people always lack ethics. Oh. We are very religious, but we're not ethical.
Oof.
And once we understand the importance of being ethical, then we can accept the things that we was always denying.
Oh.
I think our biggest problem is our love, a lack of love for self.
Oh, we gotta love ourselves.
Lack of love for self. It starts there.
Yeah.
And that goes on in along with, you know, putting extra hair in your head, how you wear your clothes, trying to be something that you're not. You got men out here trying to pretend that they're gay when they're not gay because they want to be accepted. It's about love of yourself.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I want to go back to the story that Delta mentioned. Delta, are you still with us or did you drop off? The story that Delta mentioned regarding the staring contest. Delta, you still there?
Delta may have dropped off. Yes, I'm still here.
Oh. Okay, good, good. Did you finish your Hot Topics, Delta?
I had one
did
more.
You have another one for us? Because I did want to go back and discuss Hot Topics, but, but I tell you what, that's okay, you're fine. We're up against the break, so how about this? When we come back from break, let's pick back up on your stories, because I have a few Hot Topics, and I also want to give out our Black Star Award. But before it gets too late, I want us all to just wish King B a very, very, very successful procedure tomorrow.
Thank you. All is well.
You are well. And
yes,
you are well.
You are already well.
And Candace, King B, for you black men need to start moving around, doing some yoga, and you also should eat more tomatoes and watermelon, which has, what is it, lycopene.
Yes,
so
lycopene.
That you can prevent that prostate cancer. So let's take a quick
exactly.
break and we'll come right back.
All right. I'll talk to you later and let you know how it was. I'm tired early today.
Okay, yes, she'll get you some rest. We'll speak to you soon. Love you. Peace and love. All right. Let's take a quick break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, and we are back. So, Delta, you said you had another hot topic to share with us. You have some interesting ones tonight. So, you have another one for us?
Yes, I have one more. And I would like to talk about the policeman that beat the white woman up in California, where the white lady says she saw the police doing something. I can't remember. So she questioned. No, it was an alarm going off on the car, and she wanted to know who alarm it was. The police told her, "It's none of your business." And he went to cussing her out. So the white lady, which she pulled out her white card, as Icy Hot say, she thought if she pulled out her white card on another white card that they wouldn't do nothing to her. But he cussed her out, so the lady dialed 911 on him and reported him. Three minutes later, The white card privilege was stopped, and she was stopped for, he said that she wasn't wearing her seatbelt, but the lady said he was lying. She said he was mad because she called in and a complaint on him. But anyway, he pulled her out of the car and started handcuffing her and beating her. Another policeman pulled right up, didn't ask no questions, jumped out the car and immediately started punching her in the face. I mean, real hard. It's been all on Facebook, all on CNN. It's been all on Good Morning America, Nancy Gray, all of them tonight. So now him his
I
white
think
privilege.
Staged.
Oh no, baby, that ain't staged. He whooped the hell out of her. He whooped her, baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got me talking dirty. Lord, forgive me, Jesus. He beat her up, Jesus. Lord, forgive me. He beat her up real good. I mean, he beat her real bad. And so,
oh my goodness,
she went and hired this lawyer, and they filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit, and they had her in jail and all these charges on her. But when the district attorney and them saw how bad he was beating her, somebody taped it and turned it in, and they dropped all the charges. Now they filing a multi-million-dollar lawsuit. But this is what I'm talking about. Now the white lady get beaten. Everybody is outraged. All the white folks, oh, that's a mother. Oh, he shouldn't do that. She's a mother. They shouldn't beat her like that. Well, you've been whooping my people. There's a mother. There's a grandmother. There's a sister. There's a aunt. There's a wife. You don't get outraged about my people. But everybody's on the bandwagon about him beating her in her face. Now, come on here. Let's be for real. White privilege card. White privilege MasterCard.
They use it quite often. Mm-hmm. I have a book called White Privilege, and it speaks about different stories of how people use white privilege. It was actually one of my textbooks, also for my one of my degree programs. White privilege. So they have it, and they know it because it stems from a long line of swindling and dealing in people. As property, so but you know, oh, my crazy dog. Before we run out of time, I do want to share some of these hot topics and definitely allow for Mother Hattie to read the Women United statement. But Delta, I want to speak about this little boy in Ohio with the staring contest. Now, the little girl, let me get to this article. The little girl I read was never reprimanded for pouring a carton of milk on another student's food. So that's bullying, it's being antagonistic, and it shows that she has some extreme social behavior problems. So this little girl right here, she's the primary one that should have been suspended because of previous acts. There's nothing else. So I'm glad that the parents had, I'm trying to get back to this article. I'm glad that the parents had the wherewithal to have a judge, take this case before a judge because it needed to be. That makes no sense at all to have that little boy suspended like this. And this, the little white girl was the one that was the one that's apparently the incorrigible student.
Yeah, exactly.
The one that needs to be suspended. Yeah. Trying to get to this article. Let me see. The whole.
But that's the way they.
List
but
of
that's
different
the
things that this little girl has done. Uh huh.
The little girl, the little boy's mother, I saw her on TV. And the little boy's mother said, this white girl, little white girl, the lawyer pulled the whole record. And she have been in three major incidents. And there have been nothing on her behalf. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. She was never disciplined about anything. Okay, that's white privilege, honey. That's white MasterCard.
Yes, it certainly is. Okay, so let me see here. Here's the story. Okay, somebody's moving around a little bit. Just a tad bit kind of noisy, sounding a little distracting. Let's see. Okay, spokesman for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati issued a statement about the incident, noting that the girl is Asian. Okay, not white. Uh-oh, she pulled an Asian card out. Delta, she didn't pull the white one out, she pulled the Asian one out, as reported by various media. Okay, so the media had
but
it wrong.
She may have white parents, which counts for some.
That's true. Good point. And then she may come from one of those Asian families that actually assimilate and take on the white character.
And look, and she still could be white with a white father. Come on now. Let's keep it real.
Okay. That's all that's true. Just reading what the stars are saying. Let's see. Oh, okay. A white boy was also suspended in the incident. It is highly regrettable that some have sought to introduce a racial element into a situation where none existed. The female student involved has been described in some accounts as white. She is, in fact, Asian, a point which the mother of the student who filed the lawsuit learned in November of last year. The other male student who also received a one-day suspension is white. Okay, let's see. This happened September 2014 at the St. Gabriel Consolidated School in Glendale, Ohio. They were engaged in a staring game, and the perception is he intimidated her. Okay. Said the little girl giggled the entire time. The parents filed a lawsuit in an attempt to get the suspension removed from their son's record, noting that the school did not give their son due process. The Tollbooth told the news station that the incident happened on a Monday. The girl's parents contacted the school about the incident on the Tuesday. And on that same day, their son was suspended and apparently wrote an apology letter without their knowledge. They say they were not made aware of the suspension until Wednesday. According to court documents viewed by the news station, the girl claims she felt fearful. And the boy said he never knew she was scared because she was laughing. It also read his letter, "I understand I've done the wrong thing. That will never happen again. I will start to think before I do, so I am not in this situation."
Look how, let me say something here. Look how they are training our children. They are training our black children to be afraid to do anything, be afraid to walk down the street, be afraid to cross the street unless it's at a red light because that's jaywalking. They are having the children to be afraid to be people, to just be. I mean, just to breathe. If you think about the game, which I never did, but I know what it is. The game, the rule of the game is to see who can stare the longest. The point of the whole game is to intimidate the other person so that they will drop their eyes and therefore the other person will be claimed the winner. That's the whole point. I'm going to stare you down, and I am going to intimidate you into giving up and dropping your eyes. That's when you go into the game, that's what it is. So why go into the game? So the lawyer needs to know the game, for one thing. He also needs to know that the young girl was laughing the whole time. This should be an out-and-out win. Whether it's racist or not, it should be an out-and-out win. But we all know that it does have to do with race because the children are picking up on what the adults are putting out there. The adults are putting out black men, black boys. They are scary. Run from them. They will hurt you. That's the propaganda that's being put out. And the children are listening. They read the news. They hear this. They hear every day black men running, shot in the back. Policeman said, "I feared for my life." Black man pulled out of his car because he didn't do this and that. "I feared for my life." They are picking up on this.
Yes, they are.
And then also, can I say something? Also,
sure.
The lawyer, the attorney for the young boy, his family did order all this, what Audra said. The lawyer ordered all this, but the white judge still refused. So he's already doomed from the start. They weren't intended to do it. Because that's the way the devils are.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to share this hot topic. Has anyone heard about this inmate debate team that is part of a Bard College program? And this program helps to give prisoners a chance at a better life when they are released recently. They went up against Harvard College Debating Union, and they beat the debate team. And
I heard that.
Woo-hoo!
I heard that on the news. That's
what did you hear about it, Delta? I just heard about it today.
I heard it a few days ago. I heard that on the news that they won. These people won. So that lets you know we have some smart brothers in jail. And that's why they want to
suddenly. Girls smart and good looking and want to do the right thing. They just got caught up in a bad situation.
Many of them. You know what? You is absolutely correct because I love a black man. I love a black man.
I mean, they set these brothers up. Listen, how it was explained to me or shared to me from brothers who say got entangled in selling dope and all of that. When they would go out to seek a job, when they would apply for certain jobs and positions, they were never hired. Okay, they were discriminated against, and we know that this happened. That's why they had to come up with affirmative action and all of that. And so these young boys would say, what am I supposed to do? Some of them weren't educated. Some of them were educated. We know how the school system is. We just finished talking about how they treat this little boy in school. And so they would say, what am I supposed to do? I can't just not eat. My mom's struggling. I want to help my mom. And so they had to make sacrifices and choices, and this is what they thought their only option was to sell drugs, something that was put into the community to destroy us in so many different ways. Either you're selling it or you're using it. Either way, they're going to get you. Exactly.
And that is absolutely correct, because can I tell you something happened today since you said that? I guess you say I've been had a lot going on in my little town. Today on the news in my little town, the fire chief and another man, they knew they had stole a golf cart, you know, like you ride around when you play golf. The fire chief and another fireman stole this golf cart. So they went to his house to pick it up because somebody dropped a dime on them about the cart. When they got there to the house, what y'all think they found?
What?
They found so much of marijuana, they had a marijuana farm. Down there with me. It's over in Biloxi where the casino's at.
What? Oh. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Marijuana legal down there in Mississippi? You guys haven't passed the law for that.
No, they had that.
Oh my goodness!
So that's what I'm saying. This is how it's coming into the neighborhood. Now this is the fire chief
and the gun.
The fire chief.
Yeah. Well, you know there were plenty of drug dealers. If you go on YouTube and watch some of those old gangster documentaries on some of the black drug dealers like Nicky Barnes and all of them and. Ooh, what is that noise? Who's messing with dishes? Come on now. Put your phone on mute. Is that you, Delta, trying to clean up?
No.
You think some pop or something?
No.
Is that Mother Hattie?
Honey, that's the NSA. I'm on mute. I'm always on mute like I'm talking.
It's the NSA. Okay. Well, NSA, mute your phone if you're going to listen. Just mute. But anyway, made me forget what I was getting ready to say. Delta.
Yeah.
Delta, in terms of the sheriff, so that was the sheriff with the marijuana. And see, this is what they do.
No,
they
that
have
was the
gun.
He was the fire chief.
Oh, the fire chief.
the fire chief, honey. Mm. Him and the firemen, they dealing drugs. The firemen and the fire chief dealing drugs.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Oof. Well, I guess they said they have to try to make it, so they probably have a pretty good business there in Biloxi selling it to the tourists.
They must have been black.
White, baby, white. You know ain't no black ones jumped in to do that right here. They'll be under the jail, Miss Hattie.
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, huh?
Yeah, huh?
I said they would be under the jail.
Oh, they're not under the jail? What is it?
No, the white men's are out, honey. They out on bond. You know, the black boys, they don't give them no bond.
Oh, okay. Did anybody hear about another, what they call a Rachel, Rachel DelZoa? Another white lady was pretending to be Native American, and she was like over like the Native American program at Dartmouth. And I didn't know that Dartmouth, I didn't know that Dartmouth was started to educate Native Americans. But of course it swayed from that. So I didn't know that. And Dartmouth is like an Ivy League college, is it not? Is it one of those Ivy League? I thought so. Yes, it is. I didn't know that either. Yeah, I didn't know
it's
that.
Very, very famous.
Right, yeah. It was organized to teach the Native Americans. So, yeah, this little white lady over the Native American program, over the Native American Heritage Program, something like that, at Dartmouth College. So that was another one. Now, I want to share this before we run out of time. Black Star Wars. Two people I would like to salute tonight. We don't have two of them, is it two or is it just one person? The prisoners. I wanted to give them the Black Star Award. So brought them up, the debate team. They get the Black Star Award. And also Stephon Marbury is an NBA player. I can't recall what team he plays for. But I remember when he was playing for, Georgia Tech, before he went pro. But anyway, Stephon Marbury, he's always been an outspoken NBA player, and now he launched Stallberry Athletic Shoe. And with this shoe, he wasn't charging $200 and all of that for the recycled Jordans and all of that stuff like Michael Jordan. His shoes were $15. He said that he wanted to provide these shoes specifically for the black community, and he wanted the black community to have a quality shoe that's affordable. And so Stephon Marbury presented his Stallberry sneakers at a sports apparel store in 2006, and his shoes, again, they're only $15. Now, he has said, let's see, he relaunched the shoes, and he called out Michael Jordan for his unempathetic, dismissive stance towards the death and robberies attributed to the high-priced shoes. So many people kill each other over these shoes, and they sell them for thousands of dollars on eBay and all of that. Some Jordan tennis shoes, recycled shoes, they just recycle the style, from my understanding. I don't even pay attention to those shoes. But anyway, Jordan has been robbing the hood, kids dying for his shoes, and the only face this dude makes is, I don't care, the time will change. This is what Stephon Marbury said. He says he is a peace star. He calls himself a peace star. Let's see, he's a three-time champion and MVP in the Chinese Basketball Association now, okay. But anyway, he receives the Black Star Award because, number one, he's making those tennis shoes affordable. Number two, he called out Michael Jordan, which somebody, one of his colleagues, needed to call his ass out. And I'm just going to say that. Jordan is
true.
Straight wrong. Yes,
true.
Straight wrong, sitting up, you know, making all this money. I don't really know. And if somebody knows, tell me, let me know. I will stand corrected. I don't really know what he is doing for the community. I really don't.
I don't hear about anything, and I know that people do little silent things off the scene and all that. But this whole deal with these Jordan tennis shoes, I'm just totally not feeling that at all. And I'm glad that Stephon Marbury made his shoes affordable so that parents won't go broke trying to buy a few pair of tennis shoes, and people won't stand in line for these tennis shoes and try to kill
overnight.
Tennis shoes.
That's ridiculous. It's sad. Mm-hmm.
And plus, he's putting the value back into just having a good product, and he's been trying to educate people, to inform people and let them know, listen, the same sweatshop that make those Jordans make mine, make the strawberry. Sweatshop. It's just like the person, the same sweatshops make the knockoff, whatever kind of bag, Dooney or Louis Vuitton, as they're all in the same building, a lot of these places, a lot of these manufacturers. They're in the same room, this side or this group.
Yeah, they're in the same room.
Brand, this side over here, you guys make the fake purses.
So,
forget that. That's why I've never been into all of those purses. I'm just not into that. Just give me a decent leather purse that'll hold up, because I'm kind of rough on purses and shoes. But
I have a candidate for the Gold Star. This trained chef, 29-year-old chef, he's out of he's in Europe, but he started this thing called the Real Junk Food Project. And it's not about candy bars or potato chips or anything like that. It's real good food that is otherwise thrown away by grocers and farmers and restaurants. And so he started this. It's a string of cafes, and it's called Pay As You Go. You just pay as you feel. It's Pay As You Feel Cafe. And so he provides food. He takes this food that's thrown away by restaurants or what have you, because a lot of times they will throw. The restaurants are penalized if they try to sell food after the date, you know, the best after date, after the sell by date, but they are not penalized if they throw away the food when it says best before. You know, you get the difference. So a lot of the restaurants will still throw away the food that says best before, and the food is still good. So this guy started this chain of restaurants, and in 10 months he's fed about 10,000 people, and now they're getting starting a chain here in this country. And it started in Manchester, Bristol, and Salter in UK. But now we're starting to have them in Los Angeles and Brazil, Warsaw, and Zurich. But it's about caring about people, what's happening to other human beings, because so much food is thrown away. And, you know, here in Houston, we see where they put locks on these big
dumpsters right outside.
Yeah, they put locks on them so that people can't just go in there and get stuff that's thrown out, you know. They're being penalized. You know, you don't want it. It's in the dumpster, you know.
Because a lot of grocery stores and places like Walmart, if the fruit is bruised, they're told to throw their fruit away. Whereas, like, if you make smoothies, you know, a little brownish banana, that's fine to put in an old ripe avocado. You use that as conditioner on your hair.
Facial
on your face. Avocado on your hair is great. If you notice now,
sure,
a lot of products have avocado, like the shampoo or conditioner will say avocado, and that's why I say get back to basics, because you know, we buy a lot of these different products and things,
And a lot of this you can just make up in your kitchen like we used to do before we would go to the
mayonnaise, a mayonnaise moisturizer.
Yeah, because I do use that.
But can I say something? I used to work in a restaurant. And this is why a lot of the people don't give food away anymore, because the lady that I worked for, and her name was Miss Carol, and Miss Carol was a good woman, and I got to give what credit is due. And Miss Carol used to feed a lot of the blacks in the community, a lot of whites. She fed whatever she had left in a restaurant, she would give it to the community. Then, you know, one person had to ruin it for everybody. They jumped up and said that they got some food from Miss Carol, and they got sick. And they sued Miss Carol. And Miss Carol stopped giving the food out. We had to throw it away. Because someone, and that's what a lot of them are afraid of. They're afraid that the people said that they got sick eating it and they will be sued. And Miss Carol had us to throw it away because one lady tried to sue her.
Well, they can sue any restaurant, really.
Mm-hmm. That happened here in Houston. In Houston, there's a law, don't feed the homeless, and this person is running for mayor, what's his name, something. I said, I may just vote for him just because of that. He's speaking on repealing that ban, because if I want to feed a homeless person, that's my business, because guess what? That's what we used to do as people. We would feed people, and I thought that that's what Jesus was talking about, feeding. So why are you talking about not feeding people? I mean, they even have, like, signs up in Houston, like, don't feed the homeless and all this stuff.
Because
like, what
they don't want, I can tell you why they don't want you to feed them, because if you feed them, they say they'll come and they'll start standing around and accumulating in the city.
So?
No, I'm
just saying. And I'm hungry.
I know it, but I'm just saying that's what they saying.
No, they just don't care. They don't care.
You know, if you provide adequate, affordable housing for everybody, employment for everybody, then we won't have these people hanging around here begging other people for food. This country has enough money to employ people. If nothing else,
it's certainly enough food for everybody.
Yeah. There's certainly enough food for everybody. And see, it should be mandatory. Let's take a quick break, and I want to bring up a point, something that I saw. I think they're doing this in, I want to say San Francisco or San Diego, Food Not Bombs. Let's come back after the break. We'll talk about that.
Thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow, with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. To encourage media production for black people by black people, if you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we are back. Now, Food Not Bombed promotes giving food to those that are hungry, and not spend all this money on dropping bombs on, you know, Palestinians or people in the CIA and Central African Republic or wherever. Where is this where they just dropped the bomb? On the Doctors Without Borders clinic. And where did that happen? I can't recall. But these people knew. Let me just mention that right quick. These people knew. Just like when Quentin dropped that bomb on that clinic. Where was that? Was it in Kenya or Nigeria? Quentin dropped that bomb on that aspirin clinic and lied like he didn't know it was a clinic. Knew that place was a clinic. And see, these Doctors Without Borders were in this clinic, and they said those poor people were burning in their beds. And the United States, and who else is it? I'm so sorry I don't have all the details on this story, but the Doctors Without Borders were stating that they knew the quadrants, so they knew where this hospital was located when they dropped the bomb on this hospital. So they knew this. So why are you dropping bombs on these people, regardless if you call them war criminals or whatever? Doctors Without Borders serves people regardless. And so they knew that those people were there trying to help those people, and it's just horrible. But Food Not Bombs, I believe in that, and I don't think that there should be any type of ordinances or laws where we can't do what we want to do based on whatever it is, your religion, your spiritual belief, or how you just feel as a human being. If you want to give food to somebody, you should be able to do that without being penalized. Okay, so what? Somebody try to sue you. I mean, because what? I gave you some food? Please, you know, I know it happens, but still, I don't think that people should be trying to make ordinances so that we can't do what we want to do in terms of helping somebody. That's just crazy. And every time these cities have something like the Olympics or some type of convention come in, they get all of these buses and they swoop up all of these homeless people and they send them out of town somewhere. So they just ship these people out. And that's just not right. We should do better. We should do better. We should, no, I don't agree with that. Speaking of which, I found out that one of these peddlers up the street that's always peddling, I found out that this man, and I knew because I used to give him money at first when I first moved here. He looks very sick, and my mother and I, we would say, oh, I know this guy. I know that he is receiving some type of disability check, a pretty large one, because you can tell that this man is sick. He's receiving some type of financial assistance. And then that's not what really made me stop giving him money. What made me stop giving him money is because when you give him money, he just look at you like, yeah, you better have. You know, you don't say thank you, God bless you, nothing like that. It's just, yeah, you better have. And he keep on going to the next car. I found out that this guy makes darn near $3,000 a day.
He makes a killing.
I think they said thirteen hundred. But still, that's
$1,300 a
day.
And I know exactly who you're talking about, because I see the same guy, and he does. He has this look on his face like, I know y'all gonna give me something. Look at me. Mm-hmm. And then when you give him something, he just kind of look away and look for the next person.
He sure does. He left right on to the next car. He don't even ask you for any money. He just comes.
Well,
I would at your window.
I would give him a piece of bread.
Oh, honey, they bring him lunch. They bring him everything because he works this populous corner. And, like, over here where I live, you know, Houston is a no-zoning, mixed-income city. So in Houston, you have villas and mansions on this end, and then you come across the light, and then I live over here. You know, that's the way Houston is set up. You'll have a business next to some $500,000 condos right across the street.
Right.
And things like that. So it's no zoning laws, very mixed income.
Crack
house across the street from a little gated subdivision of, say, 10 or 12 tri-story condos or townhomes, something like that.
Right.
So, Houston is going through a major gentrification, so
it's just very, very different here in anyway. So, but yeah, that's his deal. I want to play this since Mother Hattie mentioned Dr. Brock. I did find a little something on him. Let me just share this quickly.
Oh, sure. While you're pulling that up, there were 3 children and 12 staff members and 10 patients killed in Kunduz, Afghanistan, where you were talking about, where the bomb was dropped.
Oh, okay. Where was it now?
Kunduz, K-U-N-D-U-Z.
Kunduz.
Afghanistan.
Kunduz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Afghanistan. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Condolences to their families as well.
You hear about Atwater Republican Party. They got a bone to pick.
This is Dr. Bone. Brock.
So we are here to get these people here to pay this reparation.
Yeah, but they don't want to do that, it appears.
What is Plan B? What is Plan B? I admire very much, may I say this, Senator. I admire very much what you've done here. This is a certain... Obviously, the passion of this audience, regardless of color, is certainly indicative of the fact that all of us have down in here a very, very unresolved conflict.
That's right.
I'd like, and it comes out like this at moments like this, and you certainly have triggered that. Your bill is not going to pass. I'm not being uppity now or arrogant or anything else. I am asking you practically, what's your next move when it does?
First of all, let me.
There's other ways to collect it.
Let me say that. Okay. We have. This issue is not going to go away.
Right.
This will be the issue of.
02133. What do you think of Senator Owens' idea? He wants reparations for all those who are the survivors of slaves. Not unlike, he says, the reparations we recently enacted to compensate Japanese Americans whose civil liberties were grossly violated. Incidentally, President Roosevelt signed the legislation, and the Supreme Court approved it. Your country.
Now, what about the blacks who you stole it from?
Are you there? I'm glad you waited. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, are you there, caller?
Yes. I feel we should have to pay for our forefathers' mistakes.
You have to pay for them, or we shouldn't have.
We shouldn't have to pay for them.
You got the wealth. You got the wealth. You inherited it. You got it now.
Hang on.
You got it in the country.
Are you there, caller? Go ahead.
Yes. It seems that today's generation of black people seems to think that the prior generations made the sacrifices for them today. That is not true. Each generation must make its own sacrifice.
Oh, no. Didn't your father sacrifice for you?
I haven't got squat from my father.
Huh?
I haven't got... Sure, he sacrificed for me, but I must make sacrifices for myself and my son.
All right. I'm glad you waited. Go ahead. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just have one comment to make that bothers me most, what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
And that is that particularly Mr. Brock, what I see from him is a real contempt of white people.
Of course.
Now,
of course I have. But just a minute. I do have contempt for anybody that robbed you for 400 years, take your language, dehumanize you. What else can I have but contempt?
But isn't that a racist thing to do about a whole group
racist,
of people?
That's reality. You're not supposed.
I don't hear all these liberals talking about the violation of the Duke's Constitution.
You're
what's
not
what's happening right now.
You're not supposed to love anybody. You're not supposed to love anybody that enslaved you. So I have contempt for anybody that enslaves
Are you
anybody.
There, caller? I'm glad you waited. Go ahead.
American Irish descent from Massachusetts, and we stole this country from the Native Americans. And if we're going to do anything, if we treated the blacks like we treat the Native Americans, there would be blood in running in every city in this world.
And your point is what?
My
your
point is that
And that was Dr. Rock, and I believe he was on the Donahue show.
Yeah, that's what I thought that was on.
What did the last lady say? I didn't hear the last before comments. Did you hear it? Like,
no,
it just kind of it just kind of cut off. I'll send you the link. Just kind of faded out on her. I really wasn't really paying much.
Did you get her point,
white lady? No.
Oh, okay. Okay, she was great. Okay.
Able to make it before the.
She was saying something about the Native Americans. I didn't hardly understand her.
Yeah, I heard that part.
And he was trying to ask her to like make her point on that. Like, are you saying that we should pay black people reparations or pay the Native Americans and not the blacks, or pay both of them, or what? So I like the fact that Dr. Brock said, pay the people that you stole the land from. Since they're talking about it, he came, we stole it from Native Americans, and he said something like, and you stole it from us or something. I have to go back and listen to it. But anyway, he sounds like a very passionate, fiery man. I love it. Anybody that's fighting for us to have some reparations, I'm down for that, because they definitely owe us. We were deprived of so much, and we are owed that. When they say go back to Africa, I would love to go somewhere where you have not torn it up and stolen everything and forced everybody off the fertile land. Yes, then I would go back to Africa, because guess what? A lot of your people seem to want to go to Africa. So I would love to go.
They go every year.
Yes, live there. So, to make sure they have their church mission trips. And that's something that I would love to see more churches invested. I know when I was attending church at, what was that? What was the name of that church? It was a AME church. Anyway, in Memphis. That church did sponsor yearly trips to Africa. And so I do know that some churches are involved in that. Before Mother Hattie reads our statement, does anyone have anything they would like to share? Any other hot topics or any other news, any thoughts, comments, what's going on in your life? Delta, you never did mention about your granddaughter, I believe.
Yes, I was waiting. Well, I was saying that I had a granddaughter. My granddaughter resides in Minnesota, and her mother called me today, and she was having a hard time with her daughter in school, and she was saying that you know how they're supposed to like do the IEPs and different things, and they was telling the mother they did this for the child and they did that for the child. The child's supposed to be ADHD. But anyway, the mother said she went out there to get all the paperwork, and she said when she went through the file, she said they hadn't done anything for her daughter. They were just passing her daughter on, and her daughter is way behind. And she was saying that she went somewhere in Minnesota and wanted to get her daughter in a private school, and she says that they told her that they would pay 60% and she would have to pay $10,000. And she was saying that they told her she had to pay $1,000 a month. But she don't have that kind of money. So I was wondering if anybody, I told her I was going to ask her to contact Ms. Hattie, because Ms. Hattie may know some schools that's probably not that high, private schools, or something can help get her in school. And if anybody listening, please try to reach out. And I'm asking our Women's United, as because we want to reach out and help people in our organization. I'm saying, can we please kind of reach out and see if there's anything that we can follow up with to help her in school? Because we don't want her to be one of the black statistics. That because her mother is saying she's so afraid that she's going to fall through the cracks, but her mother is saying she refused to let her child fall through the cracks. I'm saying if somebody on the sound of my voice, please kind of reach out to the mother, and the mother asked me to give her phone out, and her phone number is 612-220-9256. I better look to make sure, but the mother is reaching out for help, and she's asking me. The mother name is Tia. Tia Cunningham. I'm looking for her name to make sure. Okay, I'm getting the number. I had the number wrong. The number is 612-227-5692. And the mother name is Tia Cunningham. And she's crying out for help. She don't want her daughter to be one of the statistics that not get an education and not go through. And so I'm just saying, as Women's United, not only Women's United, anybody who feel like they can reach out and help, please, let's get together. And I told the young lady that we would do what we can to reach out to different organizations, because I told her there are some organizations that will sponsor her and help give grants and keep her daughter in school. And that's our main goal, is trying to help focus her daughter, put her daughter back on the right track. And she found out that her daughter functions better in a smaller setting. And she took her to a private school, and she said this private school had a small setting, and she found out that it worked. So,
how old is her daughter?
The daughter's 12. She'll be 13 in February the 11th.
So what school is she in? What school is she in?
I really don't know, Miss Hattie. Being honest, I really don't know. And I told her that I will reach out to you because I don't know. And the mother she's just beat down. She just don't know what else to do. And she was crying out so hard. She's saying she don't want her daughter to be one of the statistics that don't get an education. She don't want her daughter to be like that. And she refused. Like she said, the white folks gave up on her daughter. And she refusing to give up on her child.
So is she at a black school now? They don't have one or two.
I don't know, Miss Hattie. I'm being honest. I really don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you might know it if I said it. Okay.
Mm-mm.
So let me just ask you this, Delta. So she's in the 7th grade. She's 14. Mm-hmm. And... I mean, what are some of the difficulties that she's experiencing? Is she literate? Can she read?
She can read, but she's like just struggling. Her mother say, "Oh, okay." Like the boy is younger than her, and the boy can get it right off the bat. Well, she have to struggle, just really struggle to get it. And she's been diagnosed as ADHD. And I'm being honest, they have not just put that label on her. She really is ADHD. So, I always said the white folks love to put a label on you.
And you're speaking of the label too, just to inject this, remember that doctor came out and said he made up ADHD. So I think we need to stop using or kind of reconsider.
Oh, really? Okay, I hadn't heard that here.
Yeah, he said that he made all of that up. So, like we were talking about earlier, a lot of this is just, it was a lot of factors. It can be diet. It can be the children's diet. You said she's kind of hyper. Is she eating cereal before she gets, a lot of times parents feed children cereal with sugar, Pop-Tarts, Pop-Tarts that's loaded with sugar.
Pop-Tarts,
crescent rolls and things. Yeah, the Pop-Tarts too. All of that stuff that we're so accustomed to eating in the morning is not what we should eat in the morning.
We
shouldn't eat a lot of these things that we've been accustomed to with the American diet. We just shouldn't eat like the pancakes with the syrup and sausage and all of that. That stuff, it'll give you a sugar high. It's just like drinking an energy drink. You get a sugar high only to get that little down feeling towards
crash
midday or something like the crash, thank you, and all of that. So a lot of parents I read, especially these white women, they put their children on these what they call microbiotic diets, and microbiotic diet is different. It you just don't have all this sugar and all of that stuff.
May I interject something?
Yes.
When I was working in the office, I had this manager. She was very smart. I mean, she was smart as a whip.
She had a little baby, and the child was in daycare. I mean, like, she worked every day, so the child was very young, like not three or anything, like probably like two or something like that. So she had this strict rule that the child was not to be fed anything that had sugar in it. And she got a call one day while she was at work, and the lady at the daycare, they were having Jell-O. And she wanted to get permission to give her child some Jell-O. And she said, no, because Jell-O has sugar in it. And as I said before, I don't want my child to have anything that has sugar in it. So she started at a very, very early age. So a lot of this information is available. You just have to go out there and get it, because she already knew it's something up with this white sugar. I don't want my child to be... It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's invented. It's invented. It's created. Just like white salt. Not sea salt, but white salt. Yeah. That's man-made.
Right.
That's
right.
Man-made.
And that was the Europeans' craving, was sugar in the spices.
Right.
You see, we use, like, natural sweeteners. If you go into even some of the Indian stores now, they don't have that white sugar. They have that...
Oh, no, they don't have white sugar.
It's that cone, and you have to slice it.
Yeah, it comes in a cone or a block.
Yeah.
It's a block, and you got to slice it.
It's really
hard.
But
it's natural.
You have to slice it.
Yes. Yeah, it's natural.
Yeah, that white sugar, it's a terrible, terrible drug. And it's hard to break from it. It's like salt. That's why it's hard. We're so accustomed
because
to
it's
having.
Put in everything.
It's in everything.
It's put in everything.
And they disguise it with different names. So you have to know the different names of the sugar, like the fructose and all of this stuff. You have to know the different names of that sugar because they put it in everything. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're all addicted to it. Well,
we all are addicted to sugar.
And even though I put the little, whatever, the little brown sugar in it, a little more natural than the white sugar, I still wanted a little sugar, you know, just a little sugar. Sometimes I can drink tea without the sugar, but we're all addicted to it. So anyway, yeah. So that may be something, Delta, to kind of help her with her hyperactivity, and also yoga. A lot of schools are adopting yoga classes for these children that have been labeled as special ed or ADHD, because their yoga really helps to calm them. The yoga and the meditation, it helps to calm them down. And then a lot of times, you don't know what kind of environment these children coming from. They may wake up to some fussing and fighting and gunshots and all of
correct.
That stuff. Yeah,
exactly. They ain't gonna come to school doing. They are nervous damn wreck.
Exactly.
They're a nervous wreck. Okay?
Yeah.
They're listening to bumping and jumping all night long and in the morning, and it's a battlefield trying to make it to school and all of this stuff, you know, so... Hell, sometimes the home environment is just so unstable, the children can't do nothing but come to school a nervous wreck.
Also, they've done some little studies
uh-huh.
about vitamin D. A lot of uh-huh. us, including adults, are
uh-huh.
vitamin B as in baby deficient, B as in boy, bang.
Uh-huh.
Vitamin B deficient, and they did uh-huh. some studies. There were these little boys who were not writing well. They had illegible writing. They couldn't understand stuff. They were confused in their head all the time. And they started a vitamin B regime.
Oh.
On them.
Wow.
That regimen got them kicked into something totally, totally different. So it could be vitamin deficiencies. And this is one thing they haven't looked at when you talk about ADHD. And like you said, the man made it up. Didn't have to tell me that.
Thank you.
The other thing is that it's all about money, honey.
Yes,
the other
it is.
Thing is when you're breathing in certain fumes, it might be glues from a floor. It might be some kind of cleaning product. Certain of those things will make you have a reaction. Poisonous reaction. It goes in environmentally. It's either dermal, either breathing in or swallowing poison.
And people have not even began to look at the things that they're breathing in their bodies that causes all kinds of health issues. Even them perms that people were putting on their hair, getting into their bloodstream through their scalp, cause all
60% of what you put on your scalp or your body goes inside your body. 60%. It goes in the pores.
Your skin is your largest organ. So it goes right on in there. I want to share this really quickly. And then, Mother Hat, if you feel like it, can you read?
I'm ready. Whenever you want.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to share this quickly. A microbiotic diet is just really what a lot of our ancient ancestors, the type of diet that they adopted, just eating. If the dietary regimen involves eating grain, staple food, supplemented with other foods such as local vegetables, avoiding the use of highly processed or refined foods and most animal products. So it's not a vegetarian diet, but it's just eliminating a lot of processed foods that have been, quote-unquote, refined or processed. So it's really, you know, a lot of this stuff that white people do, like with the yoga and the, what they call, I think Mother Hattie and I talked about this, the New Age and all that. A lot of this stuff is old age. It's stuff that these people have really stolen from us. Meditation and yoga, that's us. That comes from black people.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on the walls in Egypt, and the tombs. So, I mean, this is all our history and knowledge that these people continue to try to steal and say that it's theirs. So, anyway, it's a whole nother show on that. We only have a few little minutes. Mother Hattie, I sure want you to be able to read that statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a working statement from Women United regarding the attacks on black women such as Rekia Boyd, Ayanna Stanley Jones, Sandra Bland, and many others. Women United denounce and detest the vicious attacks on black women we have been historically plagued with and seems to have escalated in more recent times. We are 100% human beings and deserve to be protected and with equal justice under the law and other entities. The recent vicious behavior and disrespect of the lives of black women must stop. These are unconscionable, deplorable acts and actions occurring in a country that considers itself to be civil and democratic. A plan of action must be adopted and implemented immediately to stop the terror on black women. Women United is placing a call to action for all women groups, organizations, and men to rectify these crimes against the humanity of the black woman. To make your statement and act to protect the humanity of our sisters, contact Women United at women.united7777@gmail.com.
Yes. Thank you, Mother Hattie.
Thank you,
Aja, King B. And to our listeners, peace and good night and namaste. Blessings.
Namaste.
Peace and love.